Hi, everyone. Welcome to the special edition of Employment Matters, brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm your host, Steve Hirschfeld. Well, today's Tuesday, which is a special day at the ELA. That's when we do Travel Tuesdays, when we get a chance to dial in our members from around the globe to share with us what it's like to do business in their jurisdiction. Today, we're going to be hearing a little bit more about the Sooner State, otherwise known as Oklahoma. I'm really pleased to welcome to the show Adam Childers and Alan Hudson from Crowe and Dunleavy in Oklahoma City. Gentlemen, how are you?
Hey, Steve, this is Adam. I'm excited to be back, a return engagement for us.
Yeah, we're doing great, Steve. And I do want to take a moment just to let you know, in case you missed this, I'm a big Oklahoma State fan. Adam's
I'm a big Sooner fan.
And just so the world knows, Oklahoma State won the last Bedlam football game this past fall.
Alan, how did basketball turn out in Bedlam?
Not so well, but we won football.
Well, I know we may have some football fans online. Are they even going to have Bedlam anymore now that this all the teams are realigned? Is there even
game? Europe and open some wounds right here in this podcast. There is currently, as it relates to football, no Bedlam in the future. Oklahoma State doesn't want to do that. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, I think we're going to take our last victory and run.
Well, let's move on to something a little less important, which is employment law in Oklahoma. Let's talk first about the economy. How are things going right now locally?
Well, Steve, you know, right now things are kind of bright and rosy. You know, I was just thinking about this. You know, I went to a regional conference on economic impact, and we were kind of talking things over on kind of a macro and micro level. And, you know, and the bottom line is, as energy goes, the state of Oklahoma goes. And right now, you know, I think, Alan, you can kind of speak to some of this. You're looking at some of the numbers, but by most metrics, you know, things seem to be on the rise.
Yeah. I mean, if you're running for political office, you get to say employment's up and unemployment's down, and all things are good. I think one thing most folks that aren't, you know, familiar with Oklahoma may not know, that the largest employer in the state of Oklahoma is actually the Department of Defense. We have three pretty big bases here in Oklahoma with Tinker, Fort Sill, and Vance Air Force Base up in Enid, Oklahoma. So we always kind of have that constant. Another thing that folks may not focus on is the tribes are huge employers in the state of Oklahoma. And unfortunately, right now, the state government and the tribal governments aren't really getting along. Hopefully at some point we can kind of mesh those economies together for the betterment of everyone.
The sports enthusiasts maybe will someday get to, you know, do some sports gambling, but right now a lot of fighting about the gaming compacts.
So you guys know San Francisco, we would be considered the bluest of blue states, and thinking about Oklahoma, it's normally considered to be a red state.
Ruby red.
From the uninitiated, I would operate the assumption, tell me I'm wrong, that it's a very pro-business state and that employees don't have much in the way of rights. Is that true?
Well, I would definitely echo the sentiment. It is a very pro-business environment. You know, we have a very activist state chamber, local chambers of commerce. We have very, very much a legislature in tune with kind of what the business interests are. You know, I wouldn't go so far as to say that employees are bereft of rights here in the great state of Oklahoma. They certainly don't have perhaps as many on the left or right coasts. You know, we do have our state law equivalents of some of the federal legislation. And I think we'll talk about it here in a second, but there are some developments at the state level that suggest, you know, that some of the change is starting to creep in. Alan?
Yeah, and Steve, I'd say the only thing we have in common with California employment law is that we are surprisingly very employee friendly when it comes to restrictive covenants.
Oh, really? That's interesting. I was going to ask you guys about that because, you know, this is a huge issue out here right now.
Right.
What's the latest on it in Oklahoma with that? Do you even allow non-competes now?
Well, for years, you can't have a true non-compete in the employer-employee context. You can for the sale of goodwill in a business or dissolution of a partnership. So pretty much they're off limits. You can't have a non-solicit if it's very narrowly tailored to established customers and to employees.
Let's say that I was hiring some sales folks in Oklahoma City and I wanted to time up, at least with respect to the customers that they were servicing, if they were to leave. How long can I get away with one?
Well, so kind of the usual geography and time restrictions from our past non-compete history still apply. You know, usually about 2 years is kind of what you look for. You know, some people push it 3. I've never seen more than 5. actually enforced. And then the geography of it really just needs to be related to what the competitive edge is. But to Alan's point, not only do we not allow for true non-competes, but even when it comes to these non-solicitation agreements, there's a lot of chipping away. We're monitoring cases where this idea of what is an established customer and what will be allowed by a court to blue pencil out the stuff that shouldn't be in there. Because we still see a lot of agreements that go further than they probably should, with the idea like, well, don't worry, that stuff will kind of come out when the courts look at it. But now we're seeing some courts just wholesale throughout the entire agreement. And you couple that with kind of national trends towards being very aggressive about not allowing restrictive covenants. We're not California yet, but Alan's right to compare the two because we're not the way other states are, including our neighbors down in Texas who don't have these kind of rules.
Right. If you're doing business in Oklahoma and you have a non-solicit provision, I bet my right arm is probably overly broad because it is limited to established customers, which of course there's no definition for. But the Supreme Court, in a case that got overturned on other grounds, suggested that somebody you are currently doing business with and you expect to continue doing business with.
A reasonable, yeah, expectation.
But let me ask you this, because, you know, in California now, we've got this prohibition on choice of law provision outside of the state of California, knowing how much business is being done between Oklahoma and Texas. Do you guys ever have situations where clients will say, hey, I'm based in Dallas. I've got some guys working for me in Tulsa. I want to have a choice of law provision for Texas non-competes. Will that even fly in your state?
So we see this all the time. And because Oklahoma's public policy on restrictive covenants is so employee friendly, we have some pretty strong case law that says you're not going to get to do that to an Oklahoma citizen. You're going to have to apply our law. However, you don't get the same deference when it comes to forum selection, right? So we find ourselves oftentimes in other jurisdictions, usually hanging out with our ELA friends in those jurisdictions and arguing Oklahoma law, but in a wholly different venue. So it makes for interesting travel and fights in front of judges who say, okay, what law are we applying again and how did we get here?
Hey, Alan, let me ask you this. What other kind of stuff is on your desk right now? What's keeping your clients up at night?
I'm dealing with a lot of independent contractor issues with the DOL's new rule. I can't tell you how many clients have reached out concerned with how that impacts them. The first thing I usually say is, well, I'm not sure you passed muster under the prior test. Anytime I hear independent contractor, it raises red flags. And so that's an issue that I've been analyzing quite frequently for folks. The oil and gas industry utilizes independent contractors a fair amount. I will say they backed off of that because even under the Obama administration, they got targeted a little bit with respect to classifying workers as independent contractors. So I think that's an issue that we continue to tackle on a fairly frequent basis.
What else? What else is going on?
You know, for me, Steve, I'm seeing a lot of whistleblower claims, a lot of retaliation complaints. Just seems like we're in a kind of point in time where there's just a lot of emphasis on it and a lot more. Those cases are kind of coming to the fore. I mean, just in the last few weeks, I've taken on, that's really been the majority of my new case intake has been whistleblower and retaliation claims. So, you know, you see that. And then, of course, you know, there's gender identity and sexual orientation continues to be a hot button. You know, again, it's a ruby red state. So we move at a little bit slower pace in terms of recognition, you know, and even filing of those cases, but it's definitely on the uptick.
Now, again, maybe this is, you know, a San Francisco guy talking, but I would assume you're not a big union state. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. We, you know, our dear friend and mentor, Leonard Corp, and longtime member of the ELA as well, was kind of our labor guru within the firm. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, what he dealt with, you know, 20 years ago, it's just a fraction today in terms of Oklahoma unionization.
So yeah. It's interesting because, you know, we're seeing that, Alan, we're seeing that come back around the country, especially with the demographics of younger kids being interested in this sort of thing, being socially aware. It really hasn't hit Oklahoma yet, Alan?
It hasn't. Again, we're still pretty anti-union, even the young folks here in again, the ruby red state. And what I will say, just to remind everybody out there, I'm sure we've talked about this, but Oklahoma was also progressive in passing medical marijuana. So we are a medical marijuana state, and there are anti-discrimination statutes out there with respect to discriminating against employees solely on the basis of having a card or even testing positive, unless they're in a safety sensitive position. So that's something to be aware of.
Let's say that I was a California employer and I was looking to open up a facility in Oklahoma City. What are the things you think I should know from an HR perspective that would be unique or important to know in a place like Oklahoma?
Well, so a timely thing that I would want to notify them about is a real recent activity that involves our firm, actually. Our firm is behind an initiative petition. Initiative petitions have become a big thing in Oklahoma. I know in other jurisdictions as well, but because of the logjam, sometimes the legislature, it's the way to get a lot of things on the ballot. We've got an initiative petition that was just passed the first legal challenge. I'm sure there'll be more to follow, but it's an effort to get minimum wage in Oklahoma raised to $15 an hour, scaled over time, and then, you know, pegged to certain cost of living adjustments there where, you know, goes out over time, which that's a big thing. In Oklahoma, one of the things that makes it very, very business friendly has been that general resistance to raising that, you know, the wages. And of course, it's a low cost of living state. And so, you know, there's a counterbalance there, but this is a big thing that's happening. And I would absolutely be in the ear of employers that were thinking about coming here and just let them know that this is a big development. We'll see where it goes. I don't even know if it'll hit the ballot this year, but it is a sign of some changes that are on the horizon for the state.
Yeah, and I would just say a lot of businesses have started kind of migrating towards Oklahoma. And I think one of the reasons is it's pretty easy to get going, and it is very, again, pro-business. And so there aren't a lot of pitfalls, you know, outside of the things that we've talked about.
And are you seeing, like during COVID, did you see many people migrating there, sort of digital natives showing up on your doorstep? And were there issues that you had to deal with on that, like which law, which state applied?
For sure. A lot of folks did kind of migrate this way, maybe not as much as they did to Texas or, you know, more extravagant places like Montana. But obviously tax issues creeped up and had to be dealt with. And I'll just tell you, Steve, anybody says tax to me, I run to somebody smarter than myself to figure those things out. But for sure, we did deal with those types of issues.
Yeah, it's not exactly the reverse grapes of wrath yet. But, you know, it is interesting, particularly on an industry specific level. You know, we've got a lot of Hollywood entertainment business that's come to the Sooner State. We've got a lot of, you know, incentives that have been put in place. We've got a big studio over here that Paramount's doing a lot of work in that one of our clients is operating. That's actually brought a bunch of transplants and a lot of those issues that you just mentioned. So, you know, we're open for business, and I think we'll continue to see some industries really come here in greater numbers, like what we were just describing.
Well, guys, Adam and Alan, this is super. Really appreciate your time. Folks, if you want to get in touch with those guys, all you have to do is click on their bios, which you'll see in the description of this podcast. And for our listeners, please visit ela.law to receive invitations to other upcoming webinars, download our white papers, and access our on-demand content from our online library. And most importantly, you can access the ELA's exclusive Global Employer Handbook, which is a 50-state, 100-country compliance platform on hiring and firing and everything in between. You've been listening to Employment Matters, a podcast brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm Steve Hirschfeld. Thanks for listening.